How's y'all everyone doing this morning? Good? Awesome. It's a beautiful day out. That Christmas time is upon us, right? It's nice, balmy, humid, 80 degrees outside. You know, that Christmas spirit just fills you when you step outside and everything's damp from the dew and everything. And you want to grab your jacket from the closet and your scarf, but you don't want to sweat too much that day, so you leave it in. But it's great to live in Houston, isn't it? Hey, pretty soon we're going to be real glad we're in Houston when everyone else is, you know, freezing and we get to still wear shorts and go to the beach. We are starting a Christmas series, believe it or not. I know we've been in Acts, and I think we're going to go back to Acts. But I thought, let's take a little break. It's Christmas time. We'll have a few Christmas sermons. How about that? To get ready. And I know it's interesting. I don't know where you grew up going to church or anything. Where I grew up going to church, when there was holidays, you talked about anything except the holiday that Sunday fell on. And that was a tradition I grew up with, and I respect that, and that's good. And I think maybe we got a little bit away from that. And I'm not saying Jesus was born on December 25th at all, but I think it's good. The world pauses to think of it and be reminded of it. And it's not a bad idea for Christians to be reminded of it as well. And so, of course, we celebrate Jesus' birth and death and resurrection every Sunday and hopefully every day. But I wanted to look at maybe some people around the birth of Jesus for the next few weeks. So today we're going to talk about Joseph. Next week, I believe, we'll talk about Mary. After that, let's go for Simeon. We don't think of Simeon too much when we think of the Christmas time, Christmas story, the nativity and all that. And he wasn't there at the manger or anything. But we'll throw Simeon in for good measure. And after that, I don't know. I think on the 26th is the day after Christmas, which, by the way, on the 26th, we have Bible classes at 9:30. That morning, we will not have a different Bible class. We will have one Bible class in the fellowship hall with a post-Christmas brunch. So that, I believe, is advertised in the bulletin, maybe. So make preparations for that. That'll be fun. We'll come together. We'll hang out. We'll sing some songs. It'll be the day after Christmas, you know. Boxing Day? Is that Boxing Day? And we'll have a Bible lesson all together before worship. So definitely make plans to join us for that. But this morning I wanted to talk about Joseph. You know, Joseph is, of course, Jesus's dad. Christmas time, we think of all sorts of things. You know, we think of family, we think of the food, we think of the gifts, we think of Rudolph and the Charlie Brown Christmas special and all these different things we think of. But we don't think of very much during Christmas time is the fathers of families. Too much. You know, it's kind of a bad gig for us, I think, as fathers. You work all year, you know, you want to provide for your family. It's Christmas time. You've been saving up your nickels and dimes, you know, you try to buy some kids some gifts or whatever. You've had to work hard to decorate and put lights up and do the tree and all these little tasks that you don't get much thanks for. And then you stay up the night before and you're working hard to put the toys together and everything. And then the next thing you know, as soon as you put your head down the pillow, the kids are waking you up. Come on, Dad, come on, let's go. And who gets the credit? You know, some other guy that didn't do anything, you know. Santa Claus gets all the credit for it, you know, and eats the cookies left out at night. So it's not really a great gig. And then when you go back and you look at the photographs of Christmas morning, and you see the kids and the smiles and the gifts, you know, and all this. And where's the dad? On the other side of the camera. You never get to see the dad. So we're starting with Joseph in all of this morning, if that's okay with you. I read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 for us. And what I want us to look at and focus on, you know, some sermons you kind of build up and give the point later, but I'm just going to give it to you flat out because I want you to see it as we go, is that Joseph is going to allow his life to be interrupted. All right, Joseph is going to allow his life to be interrupted. And that's what we're going to be looking at. So in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Well, that's an interruption right there. Joseph has this beautiful young lady that he's going to marry, and come to find out, she already has a child. Well, this is not a good situation, right? And legally, Joseph could get rid of her. She could actually be greatly punished for this. But Joseph is a righteous man. right? He's a righteous man. Verse 19 tells us he was a righteous man. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So Joseph has not at this time yet been visited and told that Mary is, you know, with what is the baby she is carrying is from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't know that information yet, but he's just thinking she did something very, very wrong. And instead of, you know, trying to get revenge or make her pay for her sin, he respects her enough even in that. He's a very gracious person, right? That he doesn't want to expose her to public disgrace. That says a lot about who Joseph is. And I think one of the reasons why God chose him as well as Mary to raise Jesus. So he was going to divorce her quietly. Verse 20 says, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so he's told, don't divorce her. You know, she didn't do anything wrong. You are going to give birth to the Messiah. Now, this is big news. I think sometimes we gloss over this, and we'll focus more on this later when we talk about Mary. But, you know, we all kind of have plans for what our lives are going to look like. They never go as you plan. I understand that, right? But this is something huge that was placed in the lap of Joseph and, of course, Mary as well. And he accepts it. He accepts it. The responsibility of what this means, right, of raising the Messiah, the responsibility and everything that would go along with that. This is very interesting as well. I mean, we live in a culture now, I believe, somewhat where oftentimes kids kind of rule the roost. You become a parent and everything might become about your kids. That's not, of course, every family or anything like that, but that definitely would not have been the culture at this time. Right, it would have been more of the old school. Hey, kids, you remain quiet. You know, you only speak unless you're spoken to. You know, that type of thing, which was so amazing when Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." That was groundbreaking, right? It's, hey, kids, y'all stay away. This is adult talk over here. And Jesus changed all of that, right? But Joseph goes from being, you know, he's the head of the family and everything, and you are going to raise a child. And I'm sure he raised him in the right way and was a good father and disciplined when he needed to. Well, probably not to discipline Jesus, but you know what I mean, right? Teach him things and stuff like that. But immediately this child, I mean, how does that? He's up here. You know, he's the Messiah. Now wouldn't that be an easy thing to just step right into? But Joseph goes with it. He's a righteous man, as we've seen. All right, he's a very gracious person. He goes for it. All right, so he allows himself to be, his life to be interrupted in that way. Something else to think about is when verse 22, he says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Joseph did what was commanded of him. Right? Immediately when he woke up, immediately, he does what God commands him to do. And listen to this. He took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. I don't know how long their engagement period was, okay? But there was that time period. I'm not exactly sure how old Joseph was. But here he is, and I'm not going to get into too much detail or anything, but just something to consider. For a man and a woman to be married, that's a pretty exciting moment. And if if they've been following God and God's will for their lives as remaining celibate until marriage, that is going to be a very good time that night, right? And he is not going to get that opportunity. Think about that. Just for, you know, I'm not focusing on that too much, but wait, Joseph. Now you got to wait longer. And he respects God's command on that. That's not small potatoes. I just want to put that out there, that Joseph is allowing himself to be interrupted even in that physical way, that he wants to do what God wants, and he's willing to deprive himself or to give up pleasure for that, for God and his will. That's a pretty big thing, okay? All right, now let's move on. So now Jesus is born. We got the picture of the nativity scene and all of that. And then we get into chapter 2, this very ugly part of the Christmas story, as we call it, is when Herod wants to get rid of Jesus. And he doesn't know where he is. So he says, all babies 2 years old or younger in the Bethlehem region, all boys must be executed. Right? Well, guess what? God is looking out for Jesus in this, of course. We go to chapter 2, verse 13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Joseph is told in a dream to get up. At this time, they're probably still in Bethlehem, in that area. Get up, take your child, and go to Egypt. Go to a foreign country. For how long? Until I tell you to come back. Right? You're going to be there until I say to come back. Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. In the middle of the night, he's given a vision. He's given a dream. He's approached by an angel. Get up. Take your wife, take your child, go to a foreign country because the king wants to kill him. Is this what he signed up for? When he was presented with, you're going to help raise the Messiah, was he even considering things like this? He might have thought, well, this is going to be the most amazing thing, right? I'm raising a prince. I'm raising a king. You know, this is going to be great. Did he picture that? No, they're going to be hunting him down. You're going to have to get up in the middle of the night. Yeah, you thought you were going to go to work that day. No, you're getting up in the middle of the night. You're getting everything you can get your hands on. And you're fleeing to another country with your very small child and your wife in the middle of the night. Does he fight back with God? No, he wakes up and immediately does what God tells him to do. That is a huge interruption of his life. How many of us could make a decision to follow God, to just get up, stop what we're doing, change course, and do what God wants us to do? Joseph allows himself to be interrupted. And then he stays there until he's told, hey, Herod has died, you can come back now. And it's like, all right, well, this life that he's built in Egypt, he's got to pack it all up and he's got to go back. And when we read in verse 19, it says, after Herod died, still in chapter 2 of Matthew, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, again, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. So even there, as he comes back from Egypt, as he's pulled away again from the life he's built there, and he comes where he thinks he's going to go live, probably in the area of Bethlehem again, where he was before he went to Egypt. God tells him in a dream again, no, that's not where you're going to go. Go, you know, you're in Bethlehem, a suburb of Jerusalem, where his family and stuff would have been. That's why he had to go to Bethlehem in the first place, because of the census. And that's where, no, you're not going to live in that area. You need to go to the northern part of Israel. That's, you know, not metropolitan. It's smaller towns. It's a different type of people group. You're going to go live there. Joseph's life is not a life of choosing to do what he wants to do, except for the fact, I think, what he wants to do is what God wants him to do. His life is following the command that God gives him. He allows his life to be interrupted to help bring Jesus into the world. I was kind of joking earlier about fathers on Christmas, how they're in the background. You know, they may do a lot of the work, but they're in the background and they don't get credit and things like that. And the truth is, good fathers really don't care anyway. They really don't want that credit anyway. And in the Christmas story, Joseph is in the background. He's not talked about very often. You know, he's there and we see this and, you know, you don't really hear about him anymore after this. And the truth is, I think Joseph would be totally okay with that. Because he was about bringing Jesus, bringing the Messiah into the world. And if it caused him to have to pick up everything and go, if it caused him to, you know, to put the brakes on his career and his dreams and what he wanted, he was okay with that. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. So what's the lesson for us today? We're getting ready to enter into a season to where we have plans. Yeah, we got parties that we have to attend. I got some shopping I got to do, right? We may have some cooking and baking and, you know, all these other things that we have to do. December is an extremely busy month. It's interesting. For a month with, you know, probably more holidays than any other month, more breaks from our job, it is one of the busiest months of our lives, right? And we're getting ready to go into this season. And it's very easy when interruptions come into our lives for us to get frustrated. That's normally how it goes. When we have so many things to do, when we hit traffic, you know, or we get a phone call or, you know, whatever it is, when interruptions come into our lives, it's very common for us to get frustrated with those interruptions. And what I want to tell you today is let's be a little bit more like Joseph as we enter into this season. Let's look at interruptions, not as interruptions, but as opportunities to help bring Jesus into someone's life, into the lives of others. Let's look at interruptions as opportunities to bring Jesus into the lives of others. We have the greatest example of a life that was interrupted with Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You imagine Jesus before he came to this earth. I mean, I say you imagine. I can't imagine what that looked like, what state he was in, you know, what he was doing. But it was a lot different than what he was about to get into, right? And he gave up equality with God. It wasn't something that he held on to, that he grasped, but he let go of equality with God to come down to earth. And not to be born in a great palace or a rich family, but to be born to a very poor family in a poor part of the country, poor part of the world, to be hunted by kings, to be disliked, to be spat upon, to be ridiculed, to eventually die on a cross. That is a life that is interrupted. I can't imagine Jesus standing in line somewhere, tapping his foot, like, come on, come on, what's the hold up? What's the hold up here? When we think of Jesus, we don't think of him with that attitude because that's not the attitude that he had. So many stories in the Bible of Jesus' life are stories of interruptions. People are coming to him, asking him for something. He is on his way here, and here comes someone trying to pull him in an opposite direction. Do you picture Jesus in those moments thinking like, oh, my God, not again. I got so many things I have to do. Don't you understand who I am and how busy I am? When we take that attitude, I'm going to argue that we have the exact opposite attitude of Jesus Christ. That's an ugly place to be in, to think that our lives are more important than potentially opportunities that God is placing in front of us. We should look at interruptions, and again, I'm right there with anyone. You know, like I think I got something to do, and here comes something. And I've been taught many times. I've been humbled very often in that way. Do I want look at interruptions as possibly gifts from God to be able to do his will? When we have that spirit, I think for one, we'll have a lot more joy. A lot more joy. Not to be getting frustrated, or not to be thinking about my time and where I need to be. Because, you know, what if the interruptions that God's placing before us are actually really more important than the things that we're doing in our own lives? Have you ever thought about that? You know, I think Jesus looked for the opportunities to be interrupted. He waited for the opportunities to be interrupted. I think the apostles lived that way, right? That's what they were waiting for. What if our life should be more about the interruptions than our own plans? And if we paid attention to it and we saw those as chances to help bring Jesus into someone's life, I think we'd have a different attitude about those, a different spirit. I think we'd have more joy this holiday season than trying to take care of all the little things that we think are so important that we probably already did last year and we'll do again next year, right? To pay attention to those interruptions and those opportunities, church. And that's my lesson for you this morning, to have that spirit this holiday season as we get ready to go into this time of chaos and busyness, and you got to be here and there and take care of this and that and deadlines and all these kinds of things that we have to do, is that when an interruption presents itself in front of you, think of Joseph waking up in the middle of the night, packing up his family, and trying to get out of Egypt before the king kills his baby, right? And think of that life to help usher in the life of Jesus so that you and I can have a hope of salvation that our King Jesus offers us, right? Let's take advantage of those opportunities, church. God uses his people to do his will. Something that you might see as pulling you away from what's important may actually be what God has placed in your path to do. And let's view things that way. Let's see what God does with those interruptions that can truly be blessings for us. I'm going to say a prayer. And after the prayer, Stanley's going to lead a song. This is an opportunity for you to come forward. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you want to be baptized, you can do that now. If you want to place membership at this church, if you need prayers from the congregation, from the elders here, we give you that opportunity after our prayer. Holy Father in heaven, we bow our heads before you, Father, and we're so grateful that you're our God. We're so grateful that you love us, Father. We're so grateful that you let us participate in your salvation of this world, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you give us a spirit that looks at interruptions in our lives as opportunities to do your will, Father. That we have eyes and ears to pay attention to the needs around us, to the people around us, Father. To not get so caught up in our own little kingdoms that we're not focused on your kingdom, Father. Please help us be aware and pay attention. Give us courage, give us patience, give us wisdom, Father. Let your spirit fill our lives and guide us. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.
If you please rise.